a warm welcome to Celebrating Success. Thank you for joining me. I'm Pauline Barclay, author of 9 published books. My latest is a cozy mystery, Past Secrets and Lies, the second in the Gardner and Chataway Cozy Mystery series. I'm also the founder of Chill Awards for Independent Authors. Celebrating Success is about meeting a variety of people from all walks of life and interests. Today on Celebrating Success, I'm delighted to be talking to Phil Featherstone. Phil is an award-winning fiction author, and also, with his wife Sally, they formed a successful publishing company that was later purchased by one of the top international publishing companies. So please sit back and enjoy meeting my lovely guest. Good morning, Phil, and thank you very much for joining me on Celebrating Success.
Good morning, Pauline, and thank you for asking me.
You're an award-winning author, and also you are the, previous owner of a successful publishing company. Tell me a little bit about that, please.
Sally and I both worked as teachers and then for local education authorities. And we took early retirement, both of us, from those and did a number of things first. But it arose out of some materials that a school had produced and wanted to circulate. And the local authority had no objection to us doing it for them. So we did that. And then Sally wrote a book on early years. And we thought, well, you know, there's nothing to this publishing lot, really. We might as well do it ourselves. Which is what we did. And one thing led to another, and the business grew, and we got early on into print on demand. So we didn't print a book really until it had been ordered. And we developed quite a nice system where books were ordered one day, we printed them the next, and they were sent out. And it meant that we, for a small company, we had a backlist of something like 140 titles, and nothing ever went out of stock. And so it went very well. And then Bloomsbury made an offer for the business because it was rather interesting. They just got to the end of the Harry Potter series and they got lots of money sloshing around. Not that we got all that, unfortunately. But they were looking to grow, particularly in early years education, because they didn't have anything in that area. And so they made an offer for our business. And that's where it went.
And so did all your titles go with the business as well?
All the titles that we produced till then went with the business. So they all went to Bloomsbury. Yeah.
Right. And those books are still being printed today and in schools?
Yes. Yes. Some of them have gone out of print because, of course, it's a few years ago now and the education moves on and things change. But quite a lot of them are still available. Sally wrote a number of things on early years development, some of which are still selling very well.
And Sally, let me just let the listeners realise, Sally is Sally Featherstone. She's the author of the books you're talking
about. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And some of her titles are still available on Amazon or through Bookshop.
Yes, direct on the Bloomsbury website. But they're all still there, yes.
Oh, fine. That must have been a very exciting time for you.
It was fabulous. We really enjoyed it. It was a terrific time. And then we, after we'd sold the business, we moved, because that was in Leicestershire, we moved north because Sally's from the deep south. She's from she was born on Hayling Island, but I was born in Yorkshire, born and brought up in Calderdale, I'd always had this sort of hankering to go back. So we moved back up north and bought a farmhouse on the Pennines, and we were there for 10 years. And Sally wrote about conserving the hay meadows which surrounded the farm, and I started my fiction.
Right. And I think, if I recall, I think your first book was Paradise Girl.
Yes.
And it's an amazing story. And in fact, there's 3 books in the series, all brilliant. But
thank you.
There is a but, isn't there, here, Phil?
Yes.
Tell the listeners what the but is, please.
Well,
you were ahead of your time, weren't you? You were ahead.
All right. Well, it sounds erotic, but it's not. It's a very it's a story. It's a story of a pandemic. I started writing this story of the pandemic in 2014 when it was, you know, and it was really the terrible things that were happening with Ebola in Africa. And I had this idea that what would happen if an unscrupulous power developed a virus to use as a biological weapon based on that. And so the virus which is behind this pandemic mutates like influenza or the common cold, but is as virulent as Ebola. And it's a story of the family living in the house where we lived, actually, although it is recognisable if you know it. She's called Paradise Girl because the farm is called, not in real life, but in the story, it's called Paradise Farm. She is there on her own after her family die and her brother leaves her. And the story is told through her diaries, because partly I wanted, and I don't know why, but I wanted to tell a story through diaries because I thought that would be an interesting approach. So it's mainly through her diaries. And then they were never intended to be sequels, but book two followed because people seemed to like book one. And then I completed the story with book three, which tries to resolve everything, and the pandemic's over and people are trying to rebuild. But as you would expect in a situation like that, there are people who are trying to use the situation for their own ends, and they're being very unscrupulous. And so it's a sort of goodies versus baddies story there, where the brother of the girl who's in the first book is one of the goodies who sets the whole world to rights by the end of the book. And that's given away the ending, hasn't it?
But I'll just interrupt in here and say that they're excellent books, well worth reading. It's about a pandemic, and I know we've just lived through a pandemic, but you didn't even, I mean, the pandemic wasn't even on the horizon when you wrote the book.
The last book came out in early 2020, just as stories about this thing that was happening in Wuhan started to hit the press.
But I still recommend anybody to take a look at the book. They're well worth looking at the film.
Thank you.
But now, from writing about pandemics, you actually have started writing books that are a little bit thrillerish. In fact, your latest book, I Know What You're Thinking, is that kind of book, isn't it? A thriller.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Now tell us about it, but don't give it away.
Okay. That started a long, long time ago, and it was a book called Harvest. And I did most of the first draft of it, which was about people who were capturing other people to steal their organs for transplants. And the hero and heroine of that book actually became the hero and heroine of the Paradise Girl series. They somehow mutated. I used those characters. But then I went back to the Harvest manuscript and I thought there's something in this. But by that time, I needed two new characters. So Beth and Cameron, who are the main characters in that book, emerged. And emerging with them came this uncanny connection they have, where they are able, because they were, it's a long rigmarole, and I won't go into the reasons for it, but they are able to share each other's, not so much thoughts, it's not telepathy, but it's emotions. Each can feel what the other's feeling, and they have a rough idea of where the other one is. Which, if you go on the internet, and there's all sorts of rubbish there, but there's some interesting stuff too, is not that unusual. There are lots of stories about people who have had organs transplanted from others and appear to have a mysterious connection with them. There are lots of stories about people who were born at the same time, and I mean absolutely at the same time, being able to somehow sense another person. Now, I'm not a supernaturalist in any sort of sense, but I think, you know, as Shakespeare said, there are more things in heaven and earth. And I think that, there's quite a lot about the mind that we don't understand, and quite a lot about the communication between people that we don't understand.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Phil. And to the listeners, I've read the book, and I'm not going to give anything away, but it's good. And I'll be honest with you, there were times when I wasn't sure I wanted to turn the page because I got so engrossed with the characters. I thought, I don't want them to get hurt, or will they get hurt? Oh, I don't know. So from the character point of view, very, very convincing characters, Phil.
Thank you.
So away from publishing, away from writing books, I hear you enjoy playing the saxophone.
Yeah, not as much as I used to. I used to play a lot, and the clarinet. But it's the sort of thing that you can easily get out of practice. And so I've always played it badly, and I get worse. but it's I enjoy it. I enjoy playing it when I do play it. The trouble is, as you know well yourself, because you write wonderful books yourself, it takes such a lot of your time. It's an enormously time-consuming thing to do, isn't it, writing a book? And writing it, and particularly self-publishing it and getting it out there. And then when you've written it, you've got to try to market it. I find that takes up so much time. I don't, unfortunately, have the time to play the saxophone that I used to, but it's still on my list of something to do. So I've got this
vision. When did you play the saxophone? Did you play it just for yourself and family, or did you play it in a public place?
I was never a public performer. I only ever played it for fun, occasionally, with somebody else or with other people. But we never performed. It was just for our own entertainment.
Oh, interesting, though. Yeah. So what do you do these days, Phil? Well, I know you're busy because trying to tie you down for this podcast has been quite a feat. I know I set this up a few months ago, and it's taken those few months to actually get us together to have a chat.
I'm not really that elusive. It sounds as though I've got a colossally full diary, but it just things crop up, don't they? And you probably find this. I know you find this yourself all the time.
Even tomorrow you couldn't do tomorrow because at the last minute somebody needs your help.
Yeah. And this sort of thing happens. We moved to Sheffield a few years ago because we have family here. And that's both good, but also, family make demands, don't they? They've got things to do. And particularly, we've got two teenage grandsons who are ever so difficult to pin down, but will suddenly want something at the drop of a hat. We try to be available for them because that's partly why we moved to Sheffield. And then, of course, Sally's had a knee operation, so that slowed us both down.
But she's doing well now, I hear. She's doing well.
Yes, it's a long job. And I think it's longer than she anticipated. But, yes, she's getting about much better. But it's one of these things that have to be done.
Yeah, and having this much warmer weather must help as well with their recovery.
Oh, I think it does. Yes, I think it does, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, Phil, I'm glad I've managed to pin you down. I'm glad we sat here having this chat. It's been absolutely lovely. I've enjoyed hearing more about what you, your publishing company and your books. And can I ask, can you come back again later in the year? And perhaps we'll have Sally with you and talk a little bit more about the books Sally writes as well.
Love to.
In the meantime, can you let me have your website? It's Phil Featherstone, or do you have
www.philfeatherstone.net.
So, listeners, I will put that on my blog as well for you to pick up. But it's Phil, and it's Phil with two L's, I believe.
Two L's, yes.
Phil Featherstone. Great. Well, thanks, Phil, for talking to me. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we'll catch up again very soon.
Thank you very much, Pauline.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil, for joining me, and thank you to all my listeners. I hope you enjoyed meeting Phil as much as I did. You can find out more about Phil and his award-winning books at philfeatherstone.net. That is philfeatherstone.net, and Phil is spelt with two L's. As always, a huge thank you for joining me, and I can't wait to share your company again very soon. Until next time, I hope the sun is shining on your face and in your heart. You can find out more about me on my website, paulinebarclay.co.uk. Until next time, ta-ta for now.